Now, I wonder, do you lose things at home? We're thinking about lost things in this sermon, and then not next Sunday, God willing, but the next two after that. But I can assure you that we lose things constantly. For example, we lose our pets. We used to lose our rabbits all the time. They would dig their way out and find Mr. Fox in the woods. We also lost our snake for a considerable length of time quite recently. We looked for him for hours until we found him in the ashes in the grate. Well, Jesus told stories about lost animals, lost sheep. Do you ever lose valuable things? Money, cards, that kind of thing. Even telephones that you're supposed to be able to ring up and find. Do you manage to lose them? I do. I lost my my wallet at Teletubby Land, you know, over by the gym down there, not long ago. Didn't know it was there, obviously. So I was busy cancelling my cards. All these things of value being cancelled. Only to find 5 years late, 5 days later, that someone had handed it in. Isn't that fantastic? And not a single £5 note was missing. Isn't that good? You see? There's people out there with grace and kindness and honesty. Hallelujah. Good news. So here are two examples of stories that Jesus told. He also told a story about a woman losing her money, finding it. And both of these were stories to celebrate. Isn't it wonderful? We're pleased if we find a lost animal or something valuable that's been restored. What about losing lost people? Losing lost children? We've lost ours on numerous occasions. It's quite convenient, actually, you know, because you lose your Murray in mother care when he was little. Not now, you wouldn't, but when he was little. And you wait until they say, hello, would Murray's mum and dad come and find us? And you think, great, half an hour's free childcare. Fantastic. We lost, Suzanne lost Johnny on Yarmouth Beach for 45 minutes. When he was about 5 and she was 8 months pregnant. Imagine her running up and down the beach looking for her lost son. You lose someone you love, and you look like mad. You look for them like, you know, mad, don't you? Because they're the most valuable thing that you have. And yet, sometimes they're also the most difficult thing to recover, the most difficult thing to find and bring back. You see, the trouble is, objects will typically stay where they are. Now, it doesn't feel like they do. In our house, I feel like they move around. But actually, an object will stay where you've put it unless somebody moves it. And even an animal, you think that the snake has been very, very clever hiding in the sand pit or whatever it was he went. But actually, he's just going where snakes go. And very, very predictable. And if only I'd thought of that, I could have found him straight away. Human beings, on the other hand, are more clever. Human beings, if they really want to, can get away from you permanently, and you can never find them again unless they choose to be found. That's what it means to be human. You're able to use your great mind, your will, to make a choice of where you're going to go. And there's even more than that. You see, human beings can make decisions that mean they don't deserve to be found. They don't deserve to come home. They deserve to be lost and left to wander. Now, Jesus softened up the people listening to his story, you're saying. So he softened them up. He said, oh, story of a lost sheep. How do you feel? A lost sheep's been found. Hooray! Story of a lost coin. How do you feel? Lost coin been found. Hooray! Yippee! Story of a lost son who's taken all your stuff and flogged it to prostitutes and then comes home. How do you feel? Oh, hang on. Are you actually really prepared to shout hooray when he comes home? Do we cheer in that situation? Well, actually, we've been softened up for it. We should be. But we should go understand why it's so hard and why it's so wonderful that it's possible for a lost child to come home too. Now, we're going to be having 3 looks at this family affair that Jesus told, the story of the lost son who came home. And the next one will be in a fortnight, God willing. We're going to stick today, though, the first part of the story, looking at the character, the nature of that son who went away, got lost, and then ultimately comes home. We're going to focus in on human nature, what we're like as human beings. That's where we're going to focus. I'm going to keep talking about man and son and that kind of thing, partly because that's what the story is like, and partly because Darren's a real man. But actually, everything I say about men could also apply equally to women. It's just a matter of convenience that I'm doing that. Now, this man in the story that Tanya read, sorry, my Bible's on the wrong page, a story that was read, he considered himself to be a real man. He felt that he was entering into the man's world and doing a real man's thing. I wonder who you might think of as an example of a real man who knows what it means to be a true man. Maybe we think of somebody like this. Here's a character I thought of who's a pretty macho real man, isn't he? You know, it is Frank Sinatra. He says, "I did it my way," because basically I'm a real man. I did it my way. What were the actual words of part of that song? For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. It's all about who you are. It's all about what you can do. It's all about being in control of your own life, making your own destiny, carving your own future. You sometimes hear this at funerals. You will not hear this song at any funeral that I am taking. Find somebody else if you want me to do your funeral and you want this song, because I will not do it. You see, at one level, this song is true. It has a certain true reflection to it. It seems, I suppose, to give us the impression that of strength, of dignified, macho, I am who I am kind of figure. And there's something to be said for recognizing the fact that human beings make decisions. But actually, what he highlights here is perhaps one of the most terrible, most awful things about human nature too. It's all that's wrong about human nature as well. Because in this this thought, I did it my way, and then actually he expresses all his pride and arrogance and self-aggrandizement too. So please don't put it on your funeral, not if you want me to come, let alone do it. A real man, for worse, but also for better. Well, let's look at this story about the man who got lost and then came home. First thing that we find out about real men is that real men really do make choices. So do women. In this case, the man goes and says this to his father, "Give me my share of the estate, my share of the money." So it's not like the coin. Coins make, although it feels like they've disappeared, evaporated, they don't lose themselves. Not even like the sheep. Sheep are by nature foolish, but they are not moral. They are governed by instincts, not by choices. But men and women, human beings, make their own moral choices. Now, in this case, the man, the boy, but well, you should call it man, really, because I think he's an adult. He makes his own choice. The young son asks for his inheritance early. You can probably imagine that obviously the older son was going to get the main part of the farm, but he was going to get his fair share as well. And he comes and asks for that to be given to him early. He wants to cut loose, doesn't he? He wants to be his own man. He wants to enjoy life. Now, we need to appreciate, I mean, that probably sounds a little bit dodgy to us already, but we need to appreciate just what a disgrace that was in the day and age which we're talking about. This isn't like a student approaching dad and saying, "Look, could you help me out with the rent here?" It's not even like a young couple saying, "Hey, we can't get on the housing ladder. Could we possibly have a share of your inheritance now, Dad, so that we can do so?" We're not talking something like that. We're talking about this. We're talking kapow. This is the equivalent of going to your dad and saying, I want you dead. Did you know that? I want you dead. I want the money now. I want you dead now. This is rather more serious than we might imagine. It's not just a case of saying, could I get on with life a little bit earlier? It's saying, I want you dead, my father. What a slap in the face. And we need to see this. It's not just for the father. The whole of society, you know, a little village, everybody knows what's been said and done, what's going on. And this is what's happened, that the youngest son has asked for his inheritance now. The shame upon them in that setting would have been huge. But more than that even, the shame on God. In the Bible, God says how the money is divided out and when it's divided out. Everybody had their share, for sure, in the laws of their society in those days. Nobody needed to jump the gun. They were provided for, but he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to play the man. But that is what it means to be a real man. Real men make choices. Quins do not make choices. Sheep don't make choices, really. Fundamentally, though, we take what God gives us and reject him. And that is our choice. We think we can decide the good things that God has given to us, but we can reject him. And that's not because actually he has, I don't know, failed to convince us that he is real, something like that. That's not actually the reason. The reason why we do this is because real men ultimately choose what they want, and then, they choose what they want, and then they believe what suits to fit it. It's not the other way around, I would argue. At least most of the time, we actually will choose what we want first, and then we will believe what fits, rather than the other way around. You look at the chocolate, you want the chocolate, and then you choose to believe that one more piece of chocolate won't make you any more fat. That's the way it works, isn't it? You choose to believe according to what you want. So that's the first shocker. I'm now going to tell you the second shocker in this story. And actually, this part of the shocker is bigger than the first one. Can you believe it? But it actually is bigger. The bigger shocker is that real men make their choices and then they get away with it. They get their way. Now, if you think that the son slapping his dad round the face, as it were, was shocking, this is even more shocking. Because what does the man do? Obviously, standing for God here in the story, the father responds is he gives him the money. He actually gives him the money. So all the people listening, they're gasping even more. Oh, that boy, he's a naughty boy, he's going to get told off. The father gives him the money? Outrageous. But that's what real men get, and women. We get our way, at least to some extent. You can keep the sheep in the barn, if you're a shepherd. You can keep the coin in your pocket, if you're the owner. But if your son decides to up and go with his share of the money, however stupid it might be, he can. And Jesus tells the story to point out that God does. He really does do that. It's the basic nature of us human beings. We are responsible decision makers. God lets us do what we have chosen to do. Of course, we're influenced by situations and things that have happened in the past, and background and instincts and alcohol and anything else we might influence our decision. But in the end, unless we've actually been like taken over, like hypnotized or gone crazy or something like that, when you and I decide to do something, it's really me, it's you who've chosen to do it. That story goes right back. If you know anything about the Bible, you probably know at the very beginning there's the story of first people, Adam and Eve, and what they do is they choose the one thing that God says they're not supposed to have. The one fruit, and the whole place goes pear-shaped, as you were. And that's what human beings do. We make a choice, and God says, are you sure? Okay. That's what happens. You may have done that yourself as a parent. My way, your way. Sinatra was right. We are like that. We go my way. You go your way. That, as a description of human nature, is very, very true. But as a model for human life, living, it's disastrous. And we find that in the next part of the story. Because the young man finds that, real men make choices and get their way, but real men then face consequences as a result. So off he goes. Now, it's perfectly true, of course. Problems and difficulties come upon us from different angles, and very often they come from situations that are not our own responsibility. They happen to us rather than because of us. But others that we bring upon ourselves, and that's what happened here. The son faced the consequences of slapping his dad around the face. So what do we find? Well, we essentially find that... we often don't realise these things. We're often a bit blinded to the way we've sort of brought ourselves low in society. And you might have seen that in other people. For example, somebody with alcoholism or something like that, and you can see just how low they've got. But as far as they're concerned, their only problem is that they haven't got quite enough whiskey in the bottle. Do you see what I mean? That's what human beings are like. We don't perceive how low we've got. But here is the reality for this young man. He's partied out, all the family money has gone, and he's now in the pig pen. He's as low as you can go. Remember, in those days, Jewish people, in fact now, Jewish people wouldn't have nothing to do with pigs, would they? So to work feeding pigs, how low can you go? Not just feeding pigs, but wanting to eat their food. I mean, that's pretty seriously bad, isn't it? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And you know, even though he's low and he knows life is hard, he still doesn't really get it. That little plaintive note at the end, nobody gives me anything. Nobody's bringing me any swill. Rather pathetic, isn't it? It's their fault for not bringing me swill, not mine. That's a classic way in which we try to justify ourselves in situations we feel where the church has let us down, or God didn't deliver properly what we thought he would, or nobody's bringing my swill. The fact is, though, this is a reality of human life. We will, of course, suffer from other people's sins towards us and just the general randomness of a fallen world, of course. Not everything is our fault, but we also face consequences of our own choices, both now and eternity, forever. So what do you do if you're a real man? Well, a real man, and this, I mean a real man, not a Frank Sinatra pretend man, boy pretending to be man. I mean a real man. A real man doesn't deny his faults. A real man does not pretend that it hasn't happened. And he doesn't pretend it's somebody else's fault. And he doesn't think, oh, it is just random life. No. A real man takes it like a man. And it's here at the lowest point in the story when we start to discover what a real man actually is like. What do we do when you realise that this kind of challenge, the challenge you're facing in life, to some extent at least, are consequences? Well, it's this. You come to your senses, you learn the hard way, and he says, as he realises, I have sinned. This is the authentic Christian response of a real man in this kind of situation. He really plays that role now. I did go my own way, and I'm suffering the consequences. I deserve the blame. So real man doesn't blame daddy, doesn't blame the weather, doesn't blame the swill suppliers. No, it's me who left me here. We come to our senses and accept I sinned, and what I did, the life I lived, was my own choice to live without God rather than with him. Now, this is an absolutely essential stage in the process of turning to God and finding his grace and forgiveness and love for any man, any woman, is to recognize this situation. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in it, looking at the man or the woman in the mirror and not liking what you see, sniffing your shirt and smelling the pigs, as it were. Well, if you find yourself in that situation, don't ask Sinatra. This is his approach to such things. Regrets? I've had a few. Oh, well, at least he's got a little bit of humility, has he? Well, not really. Regrets. It's one of those weasel words, isn't it? I don't mean sorry. I'm just sort of half sorry, isn't it? Regrets? I've had a few. Oh. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. That's what an imaginary real man thinks. Yeah, okay, on a few occasions I've perhaps not done quite as well as I might have done, but hey, I'm a real man. I take it like a man. I'm going to deal with it like a man. I saw it through. And of course it's so arrogant. It's so ridiculous. Almost being proud of his own failings. Ridiculous. Think about someone else. And how about Michael Jackson? You remember Michael Jackson? Man in the mirror. Maybe his example is better. When he looks in the mirror, he says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Is he better then than Sinatra? Well, at first glance, sounds better, doesn't it? Oh, he's actually going to change. But then you realise, no, wacko, your problem is still there. The problem is you. The problem isn't you made some mistakes and now you're going to correct them. The problem is you make mistakes all the time, however hard you try. Actually now, it's the man, the boy, if you like, who has become a man in our story. Because he realizes, not only have I failed, but there's only one thing I can do. And I haven't got the problem. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's the really crucial thing, isn't it? You see? Not just he thinks, I'm not perfect. I mean, we all know that, don't we? Come on, hands up, who's perfect? You can leave if you are. No? Okay. So we all know the first bit. We've got wrong. We've got it wrong one way or the other. We all know that. Let's move on. What's the answer going to be? Is the answer going to be you getting out there and changing yourself for the better? No, it's not. The answer is going to the one who can solve your problem for you. And for this young man, it was going back to their father. And for you too, it's about going back to the person who made you, who cares for you, and has done what it takes to rescue your life from the pit in which it is. And that, frankly, is what life is. It's a pig pen if we have no God to haul us out. Real men seek God, and then he does it his way. That's the ultimate challenge for real men. Are we man enough not just to perceive our own regrets, but to recognize that only God, only Jesus has actually got the answer to them? One of the great tragedies in our society today is that somehow matters of faith and religion and so on, spiritual things, are perceived as being feminine, being emotional or irrational, not for blokes, not for men, because men do it their way. That's absolutely daft. It's absolutely crazy. Think about Jesus for a moment. Think how he spent the first 30 years of his life. He was a carpenter. You didn't have power tools in those days. Was he Mr. Girly Gentle? No, it was rubbish. You shook Jesus' hands after a wedding, and your hands crushed beneath. He spent his life ripping bits of wood apart, as it were. He was a real man. Come for real men. Or think of Darren here, for example. Darren is actually a real man. Only a real man wears his England shirt when he gets baptized. If you are in a pub quiz and there is a sports round, he is the man for your team. One of the wonderful things that we've been seeing in our church over the last year and coming up has been that men have realized that Jesus came for them. Ladies, he's for you too. He's for everyone. And what a real man does, who seeks out God, finds that they will have the greatest father that they ever had. Whether it's the father they long for and didn't have, or the father they can remember who was so good in human terms, we all look forward to a wonderful father who's willing to receive us. A father who will travel 1,000 miles if we take one step in his direction. After all, if you were a dad and your son was lost and you knew he wanted home, what would you do? You would crawl across broken glass for 1,000 miles to bring him home, wouldn't you? If you knew that's what he really wanted. Well, God has sent his son for you for that very purpose. But that's fortnight's time. So come back in a fortnight and hear how wonderful God the Father is when we turn to him. My focus today is on the son or the daughter, us, in other words. What are we like? Who are we? And what needs to happen in our hearts if we're to be saved from the pig pen? I hope that we can find in this story every single one of us to some respect or another. Can you find yourself here? Real men make choices, and they get their way. Real men face consequences, and they learn the hard way. Real men seek God, who does it his way. May that describe each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful promises of the good news of Jesus. I thank you that you are a God who cares for his children and has done all he can to find us and bring us home. I pray that that is something that we would all realize, believe and trust in our hearts and discover that though we have fallen, though we've acted like real men, we can one day become your children again. Amen.